Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, Ready Rich here. Usually when we record bank shows, we tell you at the front of the episode, but Penn and I both forgot this time around. This episode was recorded June 10th, 2018, about a month before Penn and Teller went on hiatus and Penn went on his water fast with Dr. Clapper. I know you all have probably figured that out on your own while listening to the episode, but it's not clear up front, and if you don't listen to every episode, you might be a little confused about the timing on all this. And here we go.
Hit it, Zubin.
They're serious about this.
Yes, it's starting. It's already happening.
I can't start. My hands are wet. I can't scroll on the pad. Brothers and sisters, welcome to Penn Sunday School, starring Penn Jillette. My name is Michael Godot, and Matt Donnelly is here. We are broadcasting from the Show Creator Studios in Las Vegas. This week, we're talking with the great nutritarian legend, Dr. Joel Fuhrman. His first book, Eat to Live, was on the New York Times bestseller for something like 90 weeks. We're going to talk about his newest book, The End of Heart Disease. Here he is preaching love, Mr. Penn Jillette.
Yes, preaching love. The End of Heart Disease? I thought it was fast food genocide.
What's the newest book?
The newest one is Fast Food Genocide.
Yeah,
you read another one since 3 months ago?
The End of Heart Disease was before that, yes. That
Good
was
Lord.
Last
year. This guy's cranking out stuff, would you?
Slams out the books.
Where's it coming from?
No, it took me, it's a year later from The End of Heart Disease.
I thought it said March 2018.
He's like a good stand-up. No, that's a year of material. Fast Food Genocide.
All right.
See, you got your dates wrong. Get your dates off. Well, as anybody who listens to the show regularly knows, Dr. Joel Fuhrman is one of the people who saved our lives, I guess you could say.
Made us thin.
You know, we were all wicked sick. And then with the help of Gray Ray and your diet, we're not wicked sick anymore. Not perfect yet.
Just wicked.
Just wicked. Just wicked. You know, we subscribe to your website, get all the recipes.
Really?
We have all that. And my wife loves doing that cooking. Emily cooks Fuhrman stuff all the time and tries just about everything you put out. So if you ever want to kill me, all you got to do is put one recipe on your website that just, this is odd. I didn't know, uranium-236 in a taco? How odd. We thank you very much. It's been now 3 years keeping most of the weight off within a plus or minus. It's not the perfect kind of health you have, but doing okay. And when the heart disease was the same diet, right? It's always the same stuff. What changes have you made in your view about nutrition in the past few years?
Maybe the changes I've done personally is my try to eat a lighter dinner, finish dinner earlier in the day so I can go to sleep on an empty stomach. I think it's important to get that 13-hour window of no food coming in between the end of dinner and the start of breakfast.
I do 23 hours every day.
You really do? You just eat once a day?
Yeah.
Oh, so for myself, I'm trying not to eat at night, to go to bed on an empty stomach. Sometimes even throw in a lower calorie dinner or just a glass of juice for dinner, so I'm going to bed even a drop hungry, just a little bit of natural, under-eating a little bit once in a while, you know what I mean?
If I had my druthers, I would go to bed with an absolutely full stomach and then not eat again until I was going to bed again. You don't like that.
Because, you know, it's better not to have food in your stomach when you're sleeping at night.
I know, but for some reason, and Cray Ray says it's my lifestyle in terms of how far I've thrown off my clock.
Right.
Because I go to sleep at 2 a.m.
Right, that's your schedule for your work.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would go to sleep earlier, but the audience would eventually complain. You know, if I was dozing off at 9:30, it'd be like, motherfucker. He just, I mean, it was good for a while. That first half hour was great. Then he kind of winds down, the melatonin hits, and he's just kind of dozing off in the chair. It wasn't exactly what I expected. Next time, we're seeing love. That's about the Beatles, and they stay awake. So I go to sleep about 2, and Cray Ray thinks that the circadian rhythms are so screwed up that my eating and so on will never come into line. And once, because my crazy schedule, once 14 years ago, I took 6 days off, which is the longest I've taken off in my adult life.
Wow.
6 days off 13 to 14 years ago, and my schedule went instantly to getting up at 6 a.m., and going to sleep when it got dark, instantly.
Right. That's really close to what
mine is. You have to artificially make your world fit that schedule, which means make your room very dark so when it gets to be 6 or 7 in the morning, it's completely black.
I do that, yeah.
And then when you get up, when you eventually get up late, then be exposed to light and get out there in light.
Once in a while hit a groove where I can go to, or I can go to bed hungry. But it's very hard for me. There's just all sorts of vibe.
Well, you're doing the best you can, so that's not as... But the most important thing for slowing aging and promoting longevity, I mean, the whole secret to long life, is moderate caloric restriction in an environment of micronutrient excellence. There's nothing else that is as effective as prolonging lifespan as eating under-eating just a hair. Be careful not to consume excess calories, but making sure the foods you are putting in your body are micronutrient-rich, are rich in the full spectrum of phytochemicals, the thousands of all these different colors and rich natural foods, and try to, because then it suppresses your appetite, you're eating a lot of nutrients in bulk, and just, you know, don't waste empty calories into your body and waste eating food on junk.
I'll tell you, it's incredible. I mean, what was billboarded to me after we did 3 months of our very, very strict diet was that my tastes and my habits would change. And I really was shocked by foods that I did not like, I then liked, and foods that I used to crave, I no longer craved. I mean, people eating pizza and that stuff around me, it's really not a bother anymore.
You know, that's right. We love the food we are eating. And as you know, I think that the food I'm eating is the greatest tasting food. Mm-hmm. Because your body gets used to it. Your taste buds get stronger. Your smell gets stronger. And I'll take an ice cream made with a frozen banana with some real vanilla bean powder with a couple of macadamia nuts over some conventional thing that can taste the chemicals in it, so overly sweetened. And we know. Mm-hmm. And then emotionally and intellectually, you know what's good for you, so you can enjoy it more.
Yeah.
And why worry about having heart attacks and strokes and getting cancer when you know those diseases are preventable?
What I asked Cray Ray when I first started my diet was, I said, one of the things I want the most is to not read certain articles in the New York Times and cringe. You know, because I read articles because I've never drank alcohol in my life and I've never had any drugs. I read articles on alcoholism and opiate addiction, and I have compassion and empathy, but no clawing worry, you know? I used to, when I read articles about being wicked fat and how America was all too fat, I'd always go, oh, gee, and eating bad food. Now I don't have to do that anymore. I feel much better about that. I am not as pure as you. My favorite, and this was the last time he was on the show, I don't know if you remember this, when I asked you if you'd ever gone to McDonald's. And you said once you bought a bottle of water there and you didn't feel good about it. I don't know if you remember that answer. I mean, it made me laugh so much. Yeah, bought a bottle of water, didn't feel good about it. I'll tell you, though, and you probably have a lot to say about this. My children are just turned 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. Getting them to eat not an American diet is so difficult. The PR that's out there, the advertising, and the peer group, it's just banishing pizza seems impossible. I try to show them I know that seeing me eat properly is a big help for them, and they will try it occasionally. But, man, that's hard. You must have people that successfully keep their children eating perfectly, right?
Well, I don't know about perfectly, but I know that they're perfect in their home.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the parents keep the home very healthy, and that's what I recommend strongly. So when they come home, there's nothing to eat except healthy, good-tasting, healthy food. And if they're out of the house, they're with friends, and they choose that's their choice.
Yeah.
You know, so don't. But my four children, I would say, eat very healthfully. My girls, who are now in their 20s, have got eating healthier and healthier as they got older, too. Mm. Because when they were in teenage years in high school, maybe they were in cheerleading and whatever they're doing, they're being tempted with their friends. But then they get out of that and they're back to eating healthy again. They love this way of eating the most. And they feel the best. They feel the best when they eat this way,
you
too.
You can't do an hour soccer practice without four people bringing cupcakes and cookies. It's like every single child is climbing Everest. There's this huge amount of food that's just around all the time.
You know, and that's what my mission here is, because, you know, people understand that these foods cause cancer and heart disease and dementia. Some people do, but they don't know that 1 in 5 Americans are mentally ill. They don't know that, compared to 1 in 100 Americans mentally ill 100 years ago. But the point is that these fast foods, these processed foods, the commercial baked goods, the junk foods you're talking about, are linked to depression, anger, violence, mental illness. It lowers intelligence. They lower creativity. They put that we have a population of Americans that have clouded thinking due to their foods they're putting
in their
body.
You also know that, especially in biology, I mean, even in physics, but especially in biology, cause and effect is so difficult to get, especially on diet. I mean, I just read an article. They're doing salt studies on prisoners. Mm-hmm. Did you read that article? They're finally trying to see if they can do some diet studies on prisoners to actually have control over what a group
because
of people eat.
Lie.
Because, you know, in the past 20 years, fast food consumption has gone up through the roof, and yet violence has gone down. You know, we have that. There's a reverse correlation there. I
mean, well, we have more people using addictive substances.
We certainly do.
We have more people committing suicide and becoming depressed.
Oh, suicide is the thing now.
That's right. And there's a link here in the medical literature. It has been a strong link between depression and fast food consumption and processed food and commercial baked goods.
And how do they do that? How do they get that? Tease out that information with many variables?
Because they look at all the variables, and they say there's a stronger link that, in other words, lack of parenting, bad parenting, emotional abuse as a childhood, living in a home where you have no parents, like an orphanage, or poverty, are not as strongly related to depression as is candy consumption and processed. Oh, we're talking about processed food consumption, but there's also a strong link between candy consumption and illegal drug use and drug abuse later in life, and that's a very strong link as well.
Really?
In the scientific literature. And that when you're bringing these donuts and candies to your kids at soccer games, you're potentially... These foods are addicting, and this is not... there's no scientific debate about the high sugars affecting the brain and how addicting, and it affects the dopamine receptors and all the things going on.
And how are you defining addictive? That's such... When we did bullshit, we were writing bullshit, we tried to do stuff in addiction and found that that word was so difficult to define.
It's too widely used.
I'm just using it specifically to mean two things. Mm-hmm. One is that when you take the substance, the cocaine or the caffeine or whatever it is you're taking, it stimulates a tremendous amount of dopamine released in the brain, and you become dopamine insensitive, and you don't feel well unless you constantly supply excess of calories because you're overstimulating dopamine receptors so much, number one, which is the same way opiates make you addicted. Mm-hmm. And number two, when you try to stop the fast food or stop the caffeine or the tobacco or the nicotine, you feel ill. You feel shaky, weak, fatigued, and you feel lousy, and you want to eat food because it makes you feel better again. So what I'm saying right now, it has the high and it has the low. And Americans can't stop eating. If they stop eating for 3 or 4 hours, they start to feel shaky, weak, headachy, and stomach cramping. They think that's hunger.
Yeah, I used to think. You know? I used to, either there was that whole, and we all know people like that, if they don't eat for 2 hours. And since I've been on a much better diet, I haven't eaten since yesterday now, and there's none of the shaky and headachy.
Right,
And I used to get that bad. Remember?
Yeah.
We were working on bullshit. It was like, feed Penn.
We'd carry stuff around in our pocket for you.
Scooby snacks.
That's right. The worse your diet is, the more uncomfortable you feel, like you have to overconsume calories and keep the calories in because you don't tolerate how you feel when you're not digesting food.
Now, the way Cray Ray explained that to me was that you're regulating, and I'm probably mangling this this idea, but you're regulating your blood sugar with your mouth instead of with your liver. Is that you're not really trying to keep your blood sugar up by eating instead of letting your body do it with another level? Doesn't ring any bells?
That's not what's happening.
What's happening? Why do you get that feeling of panic?
Because the liver has a lot of roles to play. Mm-hmm. It has to process the food and store it. And when you're eating food, it shuts down a massive amount of detoxification because the liver has to be responsible for getting rid of excess amino acids, excess protein, turning the protein into nitrogenous waste like urea and uric acid. And ammonia can be very toxic to the brain, make you feel confused and even make you feel psychotic if you have bad liver from alcoholism. So what I'm talking here is the liver has to remove those toxins and make it so the kidney can excrete them. It has to store glycogen. It has to do all these things. But when you stop eating is when you have enhanced detoxification occurs. So your body can get rid of advanced glycation products, remove urea more. So we're saying that when people on opiates, they stop the opiates, they feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
When you put the opiates back on, the body can't get rid of it. It's removing the toxins that make you feel more uncomfortable. When you stop the caffeine, when you're drinking 10 cups of coffee, then you stop caffeine. That's when you feel the shakes. Put the caffeine in, the body's...
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I used to drink diet sodas.
Right. So the same thing is with the fast food. The body, the detoxification, the discomfort is a form of detox, which means a right-directed activity trying to repair the damage from the unhealthy diet, which builds up more toxic metabolites like advanced glycation end products and urea and ammonia and these and the other factors we can talk about. But the point is that when you don't eat and the liver's not busy assimilating foods in, it can more effectively detoxify and do its job. And that's when people feel ill, when their body is full of toxic material. When they're healthy, they don't feel bad when the liver's in a non-feeding
state.
When I'm
not eating now for 24, 30 hours,
yeah.
And I don't feel
ill. You don't feel ill anymore. Ill. Right.
And yet, when I was eating badly, you're saying that it was because the body was trying to process the stuff out,
yes.
And that's why I would eat more to
stop the process from coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm saying that the called the anabolic phase when you're eating and digesting.
Mm-hmm.
The catabolic phase is when you're in the process of living off of the stored calories on your body, and the body can more effectively repair and heal in the catabolic phase when you're not digesting. That's why you want to sleep on an empty stomach, so when your brain can remove free radicals when you're sleeping at night, it's not busy digesting at the same time. So the more you live in the catabolic phase, the longer you live. We're not supposed to be putting food in our body 24 hours a day, but when you're on
We're supposed to be trying to and failing.
Well, but people,
right? I mean, that's what we would have been doing 500 years ago.
They can't help but eat all the time because that's the way they have to feel okay, and it keeps the whole population overweight, and it's a form of addiction. It's a form of addiction because they can't handle the detox that occurs when they don't eat food.
So when you put it, when you put it that way, when you put it in terms of like you keep describing this as such a powerful chemical, like very like major brain activity thing, man, that makes like willpower and other things like that sound so daunting or fruitless. So like when you're talking about that, like sure, no one's going to disagree that we have the American diet wrong, but what then if it's this severe? What it seems like it's going to take a lot more than what we're doing.
How are we going to beat it?
Yeah.
What can we do to beat it?
Because we're
programmed to not.
You're right. That's why most studies show that people lose weight or people on diets don't succeed long term, because their body is programmed to overeat and willpower can't overwhelm these biological drives in the brain and the body that want to make you keep overeating food. That's why people need to be so highly educated in this information. They need motivation. They need education. They need support. It's just like coming off of alcohol or tobacco or drugs. You need support. You need to let the person know that there's going to be some difficulty involved, and they're going to feel ill for a week or so, but they got it, and they can't let these drives and just eat to based on how they feel. And they need emotional support and intellectual support to get through the withdrawal. And if they stick with this long term, don't decide what you want to eat. Let me decide that for you. And even if you don't like it right now, you're going to like it. Your taste will change. You'll feel a lot better. Everything's going to happen right if you just stick with it. We got to give them so information can enable people to succeed. And as you know, I have literally due to my television shows on PBS and my 6 best-selling books, New York Times best-selling books, I have thousands of people that have lost hundreds of pounds and have gotten rid of their high blood pressure, gotten rid of their diabetes, gotten rid of their high blood pressure, mm-hmm. gotten rid of their heart disease, reversed their diseases. But they got to learn a lot. They got to become an expert. They got to learn a lot of information to do this right. It's not that easy.
Three best-selling books is all I had.
Let's finish it up.
Well, you know what? I actually have a new invention, and this is the steak patch. Stick it on, and it helps you through that difficult period when you're not eating steak. Stopping cigarettes, like the patch.
It is really remarkable that after it was really kind of sort of 3 months that I did eating very, very, very restricted, which meant not only away from my usual diet, but also no nuts and no fruit and very limited and very monotonous diet. But after that, it gets fairly easy.
And that's right. Whether you
it's
had a
still
diet,
hard on the road, still
right.
hard on the road.
That's right. Whether you had a diet that strict, it was made not as strict. You still need that period of time. You know, it's like if you were a drug addict and they put you in a rehab center to get off cocaine or heroin, they would put you away for 12 weeks
mm-hmm.
so you could get withdrawal done and you could not be so attracted to.
Right.
It's the same thing with food. People need a safe environment for a couple of months to get rid of that tendency to want to keep putting food in their money because they are attracted to these things like an addiction. Once that's left you for a long time, it makes it much easier.
Much easier.
And your taste buds have improved and you don't have that strong attraction to want to put in the junk in all the time.
But I still... disagree with you on hot sauce. I still like a little bit of cayenne on stuff.
Well, I like things spicy. Well, we have different tastes, but that's fine. You can have a different taste than me. I don't like things that are that hot, but that's fine that you do.
You know the size. You don't even know this. I can give you information, Dr. Know-It-All. Okay. Do you know they sell Tabasco in gallon jugs? I bet you didn't.
I bet I could guess that's true.
And I bet you know who in this room owns one of those gallon jugs. I'm thinking about this fairly seriously, so this is where I really want to go on this. I think you know an awful lot about this. But my blood pressure, although it improved tremendously, it is still on the high side, and I'm still on a couple of small medications for it. My diet is not going to get considerably better than it is now. It's very, very good. So I've been thinking, now you've done a lot of experience with fasting, right?
Right.
And I've been told by Dr. Clapper, who is a buddy of yours.
A friend of mine, yes.
Yeah. He says that a serious fast might just knock out my high blood pressure for once and for all, kind of, if I stand a good diet after that.
Correct.
All that's
yes, assumed. It could accelerate the progress. Yes.
Yeah. Do you agree with that? Probably do that?
Yes, I do. Sometimes your sympathetic tone is elevated. You've had so many years of high blood pressure that even though you've no longer have juvenile plaque and soft plaque, you still have made some calcifications and hardened blood vessels in your system. And to really get to the next level of where your blood pressure can go down, you may need to do some fasting.
Well, it's been 58 years of eating bad, so expecting to turn it around in three seems a bit tough.
Exactly. It may just be that it will eventually get better, but probably doing the judicious use of some fasting into your program may enable you to
get your blood pressure down. Now, you've done some long-term fasts, right?
I have. Yeah.
And maybe too long? How long did you do longest?
I don't like to tell people that
don't want people to do it, sure.
Right. I don't want people to do it. I almost died doing it. Because I was 20 years old, I couldn't walk. I was on the United States World Figure Skating Team, and I was ranked number one in the country in pair skating with my sister. And I wanted to be able to compete again and get to the Olympics. And my foot had a calcifications, and I fasted a long time. It didn't help me get better. I mean, it helped me get better, but I was so weak and debilitated from the fast, I couldn't get back into the high level competition. I came in fourth in the United States that year when the top three went to the Olympics because I had fasted so long, I couldn't get my strength back in time to perform my best. I couldn't, my stamina wasn't as good after all that fasting. So I fasted to absorb the calcifications in my foot and to see if I could stimulate healing. But they fasted me way too long, almost to the period of death. So I didn't eat. First, I didn't eat for 10 days on just water. And I was going to NYU at the time. And then I ate for a week and went to Texas to Dr. Shelton's health school in San Antonio, Texas. And they fasted me for 36 days on just water.
Whoa!
So I fasted for 46 days at the age of 20 years old. I dropped from 150 pounds to like 90 pounds.
Ooh.
And I left there just barely alive. And I tried to get back into sports again, but it took me a long time to build my strength back up to 140, 150 pounds. I didn't get my strength back for maybe years later even, and it really ruined my chance to be in the Olympics. Not that I would have been in the Olympics anyway with my bad injury. But so the point is, it was I do think fasting has its uses.
Now, what have you played
I don't think
with
fasting
system?
That long is good to do.
Well, that's a really long time.
Yeah, you
can go in the desert and start a religion with that.
Yeah, and you could die from it too.
Yeah. What do you say is a good amount of fasting time? I know Clapper says 14, 21 days. A lot of times. Does that seem long to you or shorter?
It seems a little long. You know, I want to err on the side of caution here. A lot of my patients with bowel disease and inflammatory bowel autoimmune disease, I have them fast 3 to 4 days per month.
Uh-huh.
And it really helps them a lot. So
that's water only, right?
Water only, yeah. So
it's actually water and maple fudge. That's all you eat for that amount of time. You can have...
And not so much water.
Yeah, mostly
maple fudge.
You have to make sure you have about a pound and a half of maple walnut fudge along with the water. That's considered a water fast.
But most water. Even people who are relatively thin can handle 2 weeks of fasting. Mm-hmm. The problem is you lose potassium, and some people after 11, 12 days, their potassium can drop too low. So by fasting a week or less, you almost never get the potassium dropping that low. It's much safer. And Dr. Clapper was at a facility no longer where they do medically supervised fasting. They're checking people's blood tests and they're making sure that it's safe for them to fast that long. So generally speaking, we're not recommending people fast that long without medical supervision.
Clapper says very, very clearly,
yes,
if you're going to do over 3 days, you need full medical supervision.
Correct.
And if I do this, I will be doing it probably with Dr. Clapper by my side.
He's not there anymore doing
that.
He left.
He will be somewhere else.
Okay.
He's talking about coming to Vegas and maybe
He'd come to Vegas.
Yeah, we're talking about maybe doing that.
That's different.
And we would do it all properly. But since we are doing a podcast, it is we have to make that very, very clear that fasting is dangerous, serious, no kidding medical procedure. But one thing I want to ask you is I know a little bit from when we did the mono diet with potatoes.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about when hunger goes away.
Right.
If you're asking someone to do 3 days a month, aren't you asking them to do just the hunger? Because after 3 days, it gets easier, doesn't it?
After 2 days, it gets easier.
Yeah.
But you know what? When you're eating so healthfully prior to the fast, hunger is not so strong and uncomfortable as it is for regular people eating conventional food.
Right.
Hunger is a mild sensation. It's not so bad to be hungry one night. And usually by the next
morning... We joke that that's our superpower now.
Yeah, it's a super. By the next day you wake up, you maybe have a little hunger left. It's not that bad.
Well, I think I might have told you this last time, but just about the time I'd gotten down to my target weight, I went on Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
And I was really, I realized that morning when I got up to go on Jeopardy that if this had been a couple years earlier, that would have been, I'm going to go on this show. I really got to think. I really got to be focused. I'm going to have a nice, full, probably astronaut's breakfast, right? Steak and eggs and hash browns and orange juice, and I'll be all ready to go so I don't have a moment of hunger on the show. And I got up and realized that I wasn't going to eat at all, and I hadn't eaten much the day before, and I was going to go in hungry. And I got there, and three people are going to be contestants on Jeopardy. Three people. And they had a huge bowl of scrambled eggs. They had bagels, they had cream cheese, they had fruit, and they had donuts for everybody. And I watched the other two people eating all this food, piling up their plates, eating all this food, and I went, motherfucker, I'm winning.
I got
this.
This
is so easy. I am so focused now, and they are so kind of, I'm going to have some more mashed potatoes.
You know, full cheetahs don't run as fast.
Hey, wait. Hello. Matt Donnelly.
Oh, my gosh.
Where'd you get there in front of you?
I have a brand new thing of Quip bath toothpaste products.
And what else? Is a toothbrush in there?
An actual toothbrush.
Yeah.
I'm holding it in my hands.
The truth is most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and forget to change our brush on time. That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. So what makes Quip so different? Well, for one, Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes.
It's also slick. It's sleek. Look at this thing.
It's cool.
I have an electric toothbrush, but it's bulky. It's weird. This is nice and slick.
Moves around your mouth like a little finger.
That's right.
Very, very nice.
That's right.
Built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. You love guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides, don't you, Matt?
Absolutely. I have all their albums.
Yeah. Quip also comes with a mouth that suctions it right to your mirror. And finally, everybody loves Quip. They're on Oprah's O-List, named one of Time's best inventions, and is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association.
Nice.
They're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day. Quip starts just $25. If you go to getquip.com/pen right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/pen. That's getquip.com/pen. Pen. We're going to talk about underwear.
Finally.
Not under square, underwear. Everybody needs it, and new is better than old, and they must be comfortable. So you should get some MeUndies. The underwear of pirates.
That's right.
MeUndies. MeUndies stay put, no moving around. They come right to your door. They're also attractive.
They are attractive.
They have pretty pictures on them.
Mine came with sushi.
Feel
Mine had figures of sushi.
Yeah, sushi.
I had sushi ones.
I had psychedelic tie dye on mine.
Look at you.
Very attractive underwears.
I got Beetlejuice.
What's that?
I got Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice? I mean, black and white.
The stripes. Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, MeUndies makes you feel shameful for putting on pants.
Yes, because your
underwears are so cool.
Yeah,
you don't want to hide them.
These out. Yeah.
You shouldn't be hiding them.
This is a no risk offer. If you are not happy, they refund the cost and you get to keep them. They don't. You're not going to get returned underwear.
Yeah, that's
because you're listening to me, you'll get 15% off your first pair and free shipping. Go to MeUndies.com/pen. That's MeUndies.com/pen. And here's an extra gift for you. Order a pair, take a screenshot of your transaction, send it to me, and I'll send you another pair. You'll get one for 50% off, another pair for free from me. The first 25 people send proof of purchase, a screenshot of your purchase or the receipt. I'll send you another pair free. Just get your proof and send it to gift@podcast.com and then put...
Podcast1.com?
Yeah.
Let's try that again.
Gift@podcast1.com. Put
pen
in the subject line. You should have another pair in your collection. Let's do this. MeUndies.com/pen. So, by the way, I won on Jeopardy.
That's true. It should be noted that.
I just want to make sure that's underlined there.
I think I knew that.
But only three bestsellers, not six. But I won Jeopardy.
Dr. Furman, how many times have you won Jeopardy?
I've never been on Jeopardy.
Exactly my point. Okay, that counts for three bestsellers.
Come on.
Doesn't it?
I think we're even.
But I would have had no bestsellers if I didn't have the opportunity to be on public television talking about health on television. That made them, that's what makes it.
And so many people have been helped by your diet. It's extraordinary.
What a blessing to have so many people send me their emails and photos. And even today I'm speaking in Vegas at a health conference, and so many people come up to me and say, I saved their life.
Yeah.
It's so rewarding.
Heart pains, and went into the hospital, and they right away knocked me down and stuck a camera up inside my heart and went, wow, your arteries are really clear. Turns out I had myocardial bridging, which is that one of the veins is on the outside instead of on the inside of my heart. And so that was pressing on it somehow. But it was great to have them go, wow, how old are you?
But tell them about the heart healthy breakfast.
Yeah, then the next day I come in for heart healthy. I'm in the hospital. They're going to keep me overnight to watch me. And they bring in scrambled eggs and bacon. Here's your heart healthy breakfast. Like, are you trying to kill me?
I guess more business for the hospital.
We had to sneak healthy food into the hospital.
It's just insanity.
I wanted to talk to you about this a little bit, which is not really your area of expertise, and that's one of the reasons I so much want to hear you talk about it. Michael Pollan, whose new book is about called Changing Your Mind, and it's about experiments with psychedelics. Now, no one has a more strong anti-drug stance than I do, but I'm friends with Sam Harris, who you probably know of, and he got me meditating and doing all of this. And one of the things they say in this book is that some of the mental states that lead to a kind of calmness and a kind of more calm, lack of an ego state or lack of I, as they call it, they talk about, once again, with medical supervision and people who are experience extreme depression and so on, they find microdosing or dosing with LSD or psilocybin has been helpful. But in all the stuff, parenthetically, they say over and over again, this can also be done with meditation and especially with fasting. Did you find, with the people you've brought through medical fasts, any sort of mental personality changes for the better that they get with the fasting, besides just the physical stuff?
Yes, but keep in mind that I see people get well from depression just from eating right and getting the right fatty acids and getting the right nutrients and getting out in the sun and doing all the right things. They don't need medication. Sometimes we give them a little saffron, which helps elevate their serotonin, and sometimes a little 5-HTP at night. And I really have...
I don't know what the 5-HTP...
5-hydroxytryptophan? A 5-hydroxytryptophan is like a...
What they call the turkey drug?
Yes, exactly, a serotonin precursor with a little saffron. So we have, with the combination between the EPA supplementation, like a little bit of the EPA, EPA and DHA, or like fish oil, with a healthy diet, the brain, people understand how the body and their liver and their kidney can get bad and their heart can get bad from bad eating, but they don't see the brain is caused by bad eating too. But so the answer to your question is, people on the early stages of the fasts sometimes feel a little bit euphoric and feel better, and it's part of it's probably not putting junk in their body anymore. Mm-hmm. Because the junk food puts a level of depresses your mood. And then later stages of the fast, they fast too long, they can become, the brain can get dried out, can get a little dehydrated, and they could start to be a little bit paranoia. Mm-hmm. So it could be too much fasting can interfere with your brain function too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you get negative effects.
I wasn't talking about really interfering with it, but just Clapper also talks about, I guess I don't mean to be disrespectful, Dr. Clapper, talks a little bit about how there is a there's a kind of calm that he often finds after 14 days, a kind of sweetness, a kind of gentleness, and a kind of not euphoria.
No,
but a much gentler feeling.
Well, you're very weak at that point.
Yeah,
I was. You know, you're very weak, and you can't even concentrate on doing your work.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of like zone out like a bear hibernating in the woods most of the day. So at that point, I don't know what that is, but it's probably that you're just mentally, your body's conserving energies, mm-hmm. and you're just like kind of like zoned out. You know.
Now you you don't usually do the. You just mentioned fish oil. You don't usually do the strictly vegan thing, do you? How much for you personally? How many animal products do you eat?
I rarely eat animal products.
Of any kind.
Right. But occasionally I have had something, but not on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know.
So how do you justify then the fish oil, is it?
I use fish oil with people with depression because even the vegan EPA and DHA becomes too expensive in the high dose I want them to take. I can give them an EPA and DHA that's vegan, that's made from algae versus one that's made from fish, but to take the high dose when they're depressed, it's usually prohibitively expensive, so the fish oil is cheaper.
How expensive would be prohibitively expensive?
Well, like let's say if the bottle costs $40, mm-hmm. instead of it lasting for 2 months, you're going to use it up in 10 days. If you have depression, I want to give a high dose.
Uh-huh.
So I can give them, for that same price, I can give them a 3-month supply of fish oil. You know, I want to give them so when they're depressed, I want to give them something like 500 to 700 of EPA. That's like three. So instead of taking 3 fish oils, they need to take like almost, a third of the bottle of the DHA.
So
you don't need much DHA and EPA when you're healthy. A little bit keeps your brain in perfect tune. But when these people are depressed, they're usually deficient for a long time. They have other things going on. It's shown in this medical studies that giving a higher dose to get them out of depression faster is helpful. So that, so I don't usually take fish oil, but I do take DHA and EPA and DHA. I take algae oil.
So I was going to say, what supplements do you take as a full-time?
You know, I produce a supplement that I make myself,
right.
or I have made for myself by a company.
In your kitchen?
Yeah. at a facility that's, in one of those GPA-certified facilities. Because I'm making a supplement with less ingredients in it for people who already eat healthy. And, I particularly don't want people to take folic acid because that can increase the risk of breast cancer and prostate cancer. So I'm giving people what a vegan might need, which is vitamin, when the liver needs a little DHA, but an extra hefty dose of B12.
Right.
Because B12 is low on a vegan diet.
Sure.
A little bit of zinc, a little K2, a little iodine. And you can get iodine from salt. You know, when I don't use salt in my diet, or you could use seaweed or kelp, but I don't really do that regularly. So I put a little iodine in there. And so it's... So the point is, once you're taking the B12, the iodine, the zinc, the vitamin D, mm-hmm. And a little bit of EPA and DHA, you're taking what you could have potentially been low on had you been on a not eating any animal products, to just make sure there's no potential from anybody getting low on anything.
Now, those are those little capsules, right?
DHA usually comes in little capsules. Mine comes in a bottle that's glass mm-hmm. with a dropper. For two reasons.
Oh, yeah, because I take some Furmin pill every day, the capsule that has...
That's probably the multivitamin I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But then the DHA, because we keep it refrigerated in a dark glass bottle, keeps it fresher. There mm-hmm. are other brands, but our difference of ours is we just keep it refrigerated so it stays fresher.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the vegans take that because they don't want to take fish oil, and they'd rather have a vegan source of the DHA. And because there's some studies that show that with the brain shrinkage in later life can occur if you're EPA and if you're DHA deficient for many years, and about a percent of vegans don't know about this, and they're taking a chance with potential dementia or depression from DHA deficiency if they're not supplementing. Not all vegans, because some people have enough conversion enzyme to make enough DHA from the ALA, from walnuts and flax seeds, but other people don't. It's very genetically very a lot
is
of genetic differences.
Is there some way to determine that? Can you do the testing on it? Or
yes, you can do a blood test.
That'll tell you.
That'll tell your EPA, your DHA EPA index, your omega-3 index. And if it's below 4, you should take something. If it's above 5 or 6, you probably can do it. Don't have to take it.
Yeah, well, I like walnuts.
Yeah.
And also Brazil nuts are kind of magic too, right? What do they have in them?
Well, they're very, very high in selenium, so you shouldn't have that many of them because you're going to overdose selenium.
You can?
Yeah, you can overdose.
You
can overdose with too much selenium.
Brazil nuts?
You can overdose in Brazil nuts.
I love Brazil nuts.
How much do you eat Brazil nuts?
Oh, I don't know. Not more than 4 or 5 pounds a day. No, I mean, I will have occasionally a handful of Brazil nuts.
That's occasionally. Really small you're not having a lot of them every day. You're just having occasionally some Brazil nuts.
The study that just came out said like 5 a month.
Well, that's for being good.
Yeah. Yes.
We're talking about how many for being
how
bad.
How many can you eat? Yeah. Okay.
If you're on a maple walnut fast.
You could replace the walnut with Brazil nuts.
I tell you, my downfall, and we all know this, right? The if you turn into a pretty much a nutritarian diet,
right,
the thing that you will crave the most is peanut butter. Is that true for everybody? I know for Cray Ray and me, if you get me near too, peanut butter, I will eat any amount of peanut butter. Get my hand on.
Really?
Yeah.
To knock me down, yeah.
You don't like peanut butter that much?
I do like peanut. I like all kinds of nut butters.
Yeah.
But I make a great Thai sauce for the vegetables by putting in a little hemp seeds and a little peanut butter with the lemongrass.
A
lemongrass paste, a little curry, a little turmeric in there, and I make, a little date in there to sweeten it. Yeah. I make a fantastic sauce for the vegetables with a little peanut butter and a little hemp seeds blended in there.
That's stuff that my wife cooks. The hard part, of course, is being on the road. Now, you're on the road. You're
all
in
the
Vegas.
Time.
What are you speaking about here in Vegas now?
I finished the conference already.
And what was the subject of your
talk? Well, the first subject was fast food genocide, and the second subject was how to get rid of food addictions and keep the weight off forever, and lose your weight and keep it off for the rest of your life. That was what I was speaking about. Sometimes I speak about reversing, not having, living to 100 in great health is a typical lecture I give.
Mm-hmm.
But these lectures were particularly about not going on and off these fad diets and learning how to get rid of food addiction and stay with eating healthy for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Anything you do temporarily has no long-term benefit. You got to make a diet change and make a change forever.
And really, as though we don't want to say this that much, but what you eat chronically is what makes a really big difference. Having a bad meal once in a while is not going to kill you. But boy, the chronic stuff. Having a muffin every day is the bad thing.
Right. And any change you make to try to lose weight is no benefit unless you maintain that same. In other words, you got to keep doing it forever. The weight comes back.
Yeah.
So you got to eat healthy. So the point is, I'm trying to motivate people to eat to not to get dementia, to eat to not to get cancer, to eat to not to get heart disease. And the side effect is weight loss, achieving a favorable weight. So we have to wrap in losing weight and looking good and aging slower with eating for health, long-term good health. Anything else does not work.
Now, you're on the road all the time. Mm-hmm. So what do you eat when you're on the road? How do you eat?
I go right off the plane. Before I come to my hotel room, I go straight to Whole Foods Market.
Mm-hmm.
And I buy a salad bar with beans on top. I get a bag of frozen artichokes. I got a bag of frozen jackfruit. I got a bag of frozen blueberries. I get frozen peas, and I got frozen broccoli. I let it defrost on my shelf. I got 25 apricots.
You just put it in your room
pantry.
Most hotel rooms have little refrigerators in them.
Sure.
So I keep. So I'll get some of the frozen food I'll leave out of the refrigerator just to defrost.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it's defrosted, I'll put it in the refrigerator so I can just open the bag and eat it mm-hmm. whenever
and
I feel like it.
And you just eat your frozen artichokes. Just out of there.
I love frozen artichokes.
Like artichoke popsicles?
Artichoke hearts. I love it. I eat a whole bag of frozen artichokes. I love it.
When they're frozen?
No, they have defrosted them.
I know, but do you eat them when they're still kind of wicked cold?
No.
You don't go to room temperature. What temperature are your artichokes, sir?
They've already been defrosted. I'm
cooperating.
Refrigerate, so they're refrigerated but not frozen.
But if you're playing a one nighter or whatever you call it when you give a speech, you're not there long enough for your artichokes to defrost. Boy, it sounds like we're speaking a code.
It does.
What are you talking
about?
I've seen
his defrosted artichokes, and I got to tell you.
Okay.
I bet you don't get talked like this on PBS.
You're going to land in Houston, okay?
Yeah.
You get a gig tomorrow night in Houston. This was me last week, okay?
Right.
You get off the airplane, you go to Asshole Foods, and you buy you buy your salad, and you buy your artichokes and everything else. All I care about is the artichoke hearts because I love those so much.
Yeah.
Then you go back to your hotel room, okay?
Next day I'll have the artichokes. That day I might have the salad bar I just got at Whole Foods.
Okay.
With the beans on
that
top.
Whole Foods
and
salad
artichokes on the salad bar that are already defrosted.
Okay, okay.
I'll put some of those in my salad bar.
I'm so trying to get you to say you eat frozen artichokes. I so want to do that. I want that to be my character trait. Listen, now, Penn's coming in. We got the rider. The rider says 4 bags of frozen artichokes kept frozen. You're damn right. Get them in here. I will be in my trailer until I get my frozen artichokes.
And you know what's in season now is organic apricots at Whole Foods. I have like 25 apricots in my room. So on my
countertop.
How long
are you here?
So like when you go around, right? Like you've been eating like this for a very long time.
Right. I'm 64 years old.
64.
Doesn't look a day over 14.
No, like, I always think about this, like, you know, when you engage in a friendly conversation, it's like we are atheists here, and you talk to agnostics or religious or spiritual people, and they go, like, have people been that wrong for that long? And if so, that just feels so depressing. Like, when you look around, like, everywhere you drive, everywhere you go in an airport, you just see the human animal pigging out improperly on food that's going to make them...
He's walking by Cinnabons three times a week.
Yeah.
Right. Watching.
Checks.
Is it strange? Like, is the world just a weird human zoo for you, right?
Yes, and, you know, it is, and because I'm really... You know, people are being put in nursing homes, and the growing business in America is nursing homes with people having strokes that are young, between the ages of, you know, you have teenagers having strokes now. But the point is, between 30 and 60, you have a new nursing homes being existing for people who stroked out from eating food. And we know we have a growing amount of all types of diabetes is happening at younger ages. We're seeing people, and it's affecting people's mentality, and they're all in a brain fog. The point I'm making right now is I'm working to give people superpowers.
Yeah.
So they can not just protect their own health, but they can reach out to their neighbors, their loved ones, their families, their communities, and try to encourage and motivate people to take better care of their health. It's just too depressing to see how sick everybody is. And I can say, in your neighborhood,
yeah,
how many people you know have been shot by a bullet or stabbed by a knife?
My neighborhood?
Not me. How many people you know that have been had heart attacks, cancers, strokes?
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about leg amputations, kidney failure. It's just rampant through America, and we're eating ourselves to death.
And we are going to take a break now and come back on Wednesday, which for us is only like a minute away. Yeah. But we're going to do this later because we've done this.
But if everyone else knows, if we had bought in frozen artichoke hearts, by Wednesday they would be thawed. And
they would be. We're going to go to every single thing this man eats when he's on the road. That's what you're going to look forward to Wednesday. But for right now, that was Penn Sunday School.
That was Penn Sunday School.
Cha-cha-cha.
And to our listening,
you become naked. So I was playing Off-Broadway, and they bring us food because we had three shows on Saturday.
Right.
And they delivered us lasagna that was frozen. And I was so hungry, I sucked on it backstage. Teller made them run out and get them other food, but I was starving. I had two shows to do. I was eating badly then, so I was sucking on frozen lasagna. So this is the kind of man who could eat frozen artichoke hearts.
I can't imagine doing a show after eating a whole thing of lasagna.
I didn't eat a whole thing. Yeah. It's hard to eat them when they're all popsicles.
Hey, everybody. Jason Ellis here from the Jason Ellis Show podcast, reminding you that my podcast, new episodes every Wednesday, downloadable where all podcasts are available. Come see my friends, Michael and Kevin, as we talk to you about what's awesome, what sucks, fitness, fighting, parenting, life, spin kicks, LGBTQ community, how to defend yourself against a shark if it attacks you out of nowhere, and much, much more. So come join us.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.